This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hello, folks, and welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. We appreciate you being here and listening to us, sandwiched in between Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly. And I'm here with Dave Bourne.
Woo-hoo!
And we got a lot of things to talk about here. This is a place for local talk in the Mid-Valley. I do have some follow-ups. While Dave was gone, I was ranting on things about the national scale, which I don't usually do. Since he missed that
opportunity. Because I wasn't here?
Yes.
Okay.
But since he wasn't here, I thought I'd give him an obligation and rant a little bit more, at least talk about historical perspective, because it's related to the Bill O'Reilly thing.
Okay.
And also some hot news coming out of Kaiser, of course, and obviously a lot of things coming out in the Mid-Willamette Valley and Salem. Salem Mayor's in the news as well today.
Mm.
So good stuff. Hey, I want to let you all know about an event coming up this week. We interviewed this gentleman a few weeks ago. And he is on the line with us. So we welcome on the line the Kicking Cancer Guy. Can you
hello?
Hear us? Hey. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good to hear your voice, Brad.
You as well. Thanks for joining us.
And Dave.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And Dave. Hey, you've got an event this weekend, Saturday, right?
Correct.
All right. So all of us... I know the audience knows that my family has been touched. I think you don't have to reach out too far to find somebody who has been touched by cancer.
Yeah.
Right? Their family, their loved ones. Their friends.
Too many in my family.
Yeah.
Co-workers.
And we should all, it's something that we all need to be vigilant about. And that's why I like your passion and your dedication.
I appreciate that.
So take control of your life is your message. Take control of your life and your body. We want to lessen the opportunity for that cancer cells in our bodies to split and multiply and take over, right?
Correct. Lead
a healthful lifestyle is the message. And so tell us about your event this week.
It's this Saturday. It's at the Salem Evangelical Church. And I just want to give a shout out to... Faye DeMeyer with Connections 365 and for the church for helping make this happen. We don't really have a home. We don't have an office. We don't have a building. And so I'm always looking for venues that will allow us to come in and try to give this message. And I also want to give a shout out to Mitch Graff. He's the president of Volcanoes, but he's on our board of directors. And so most of this workshop was really kind of his brainchild idea.
Oh, great. And he's one of the speakers, is he not?
He is our very first speaker. The idea is that, you know, it's right after the new year, you probably made some new resolutions, and so it's time to take control of your life. People make resolutions when it comes to stopping smoking, whatever resolution they're making with health. And so Mitch lives a very interesting life, and he calls it 24/7. But that is 24 hours a week, 7 months a year.
Mm.
I want that schedule.
I wish I had that schedule.
His life. He works very hard, very diligently for 24 hours a week, 7 months a year, so that you work less and live more.
Okay. So this Saturday.
Right off with Mitch Graff.
Mitch Graff, he's an energetic guy.
He's a great guy.
I have about 50% of Mitch's energy, I think.
I have about 30.
Yeah. So he'd be a great person for people from which to learn. So this is on Locust Street, First Angelical. It's this Saturday, right? The 11th?
Correct.
This Saturday, and people should show up, register if they haven't registered. Can they just show up at 9 o'clock?
They can just show up at 9. It's $40, but if they want to just go to our website, which is kicking-cancer.org. Go to events, hit register. You'll spend $35 if you register a little earlier than 9 o'clock on Saturday.
All right. And so it's at Connections 365, Salem Evangelical Church. Tell us about the lineup. And you've got Dr. Isaacson speaking. He's an interesting guy.
Dr. Eisen is also on our board of directors, and he's spoken in a number of our seminars this past year. I probably know more about how cancer forms on a cellular level, and from him, and breaking it down really in layman terms, just make a lot of sense. But, you know, his topic is it's time to fix a broken system. And by that, we really mean that you can be proactive in the prevention of cancer. You don't have to wait till you hear that you have cancer and then go into reactive mode.
Amen. Right? We're talking to Baron Robertson. He affectionately known as the kicking cancer guy. And you can just call him that. I'm sure Baron doesn't mind. Events this Saturday, taking control of your life. We've got Dr. Isaacson, Mitch Graff speaking, Faye DeMeyers welcoming people. A lot of people in the community are familiar with Faye. Mike Waters.
Mike Waters is coming up from Corvallis. He actually is the director there at the Fitness Over 50. He works with older adults down there, but he speaks all over the United States. And he has lots of data, lots of proof that exercise is medicine.
All right. So we've got a keynote speaker. I don't want to miss out on explaining to people who they have an opportunity to hear with Casey McAllister. Give us a little bit of his story.
Casey graduated from McNary High School in 2004, but he has gone on. Well, first off, you need to understand that Casey McAllister lost both his legs when he was 6 years old. So Casey is a double amputee, and he wrestled in high school. He's actually a state high school wrestling champion from McNary with no legs.
Wow.
But he started doing Spartan races several years ago, and people can certainly look up Spartan racing, but they're awesome courses, they're challenging, and he is now the international paid spokesman for the Spartan organization, and he's our keynote speaker.
The international paid spokesman for the Spartan organization.
Nice.
Wow. And a local boy at that. That's inspiring. All right, so for those of us who spent too much time on the previous several Saturdays sitting on our tail end and not moving around, we could do something positive this Saturday, going out to this event and join you in getting inspirational stories, some knowledge we didn't know we have, and some lessons on how to prevent us falling victim to cancer, right?
Yes, and for your listeners who go to our website, that event, they'll see a picture of Casey there. And a course that he and I did together in Seattle. I love his topic, Brent. It's only impossible because you haven't done it yet.
It's only impossible because you have not done it yet. I'm looking at that picture on the website, too. It's man, he's motoring with his arms this trail bike, this three-wheel trail bike. It's wow. That's working it.
Nice.
Yeah, and that and what that picture really depicts is because I was on that hill with him. That's a very steep hill for those of us with two legs and two arms. I had to grab roots and rocks and whatever I could to get up that hill. And you can tell the determination on his face. He uses that leverage that he's created to get his wheelchair up that hill. That hill.
What I like about your agenda is, you know, everything is about an hour long. And for my attention deficit disease, you know, then that's good for me because you're changing subjects, you're changing speakers, you're getting another take on it. You've got the chiropractor, Dr. Isaacson, and the cellular level from how to eat and move right and all sorts of things. Yeah,
and
I like it. It's perfect.
$35 does include lunch. Cafe Yum is providing lunch, so your cost does include your lunch too.
Oh well, you can't bury that lead there. You got to say, oh, and you get fed,
right?
Oh, and let's back up 15 minutes ago. And you get fed.
Baron Robinson on the phone with us, the Kicking Cancer guy. His event this Saturday, kicking-cancer.org. If you'd like to save yourself $5, you can register online now, or you can just show up on Saturday at 9 o'clock. 9:30 things start, so I would recommend getting there a little bit early. Salem Evangelical Church on Locust Street. Thank you, Baron. I know you're busy and you got to get back to work, so appreciate you sharing the news of your event, and I appreciate all you're doing in the community to raise awareness and healthfulness.
Thank you so much, and it was a pleasure to have Go Team Nolan last quarter.
Awesome. Appreciate all you do. Have a great day, Baron. And we're going to take a quick break, everyone. We're going to come back and talk about some of our local issues and Brent's take on some of our national conversations. Stick with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to Newsmakers. Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, and we're talking before the show. The big news in town really is what Kaiser did.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll get Mayor Clark on to talk about it and how the council felt about this. But in the news today, Dave Bourne is announcing that Kaiser is banning tent camping in the city, right?
Yeah. The kind of a, what do you call it, a preventative kind of measure.
Yeah, I'm surprised it took this long. But they call it an emergency measure when Salem passed theirs.
Yeah.
Because if I'm one of those people living in the tent city and I can't be here anymore, I would just walk a couple miles up the street.
They're not far away from us.
No, and then once you're in Kaiser City Limits, then that is not illegal yet. So seeing the handwriting on the wall, Kaiser joined Salem and banned tent camping. It's just the tent camping, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the city limits and city parks.
Yeah.
All right, so that takes away their option. We were talking yesterday.
Stuck on the sidewalks, right?
About people being moving their tent and belongings and living on the sidewalks in our downtown core again. I saw another big long stream about how we need to be benevolent and care for these people, and we shouldn't complain about our shopping district or our downtown, and it's really just all about them and blah, blah, blah. And giving no. It's kind of platitudes that doesn't really dive deep into the realities and the truthfulness of what the situation's like and what it's like to have to deal with people who will not live on society's terms.
Yeah, see, that there's the issue right there. I had a phone call earlier. Avid listener of our show wanted to talk to me about what we were talking about yesterday. And she's like, well, why don't they go out there and get the people, especially the children that might be on the street, you know, into housing someplace so they can help them transition from homelessness? And I'm like, it's a good idea, but what do you do with those people that don't want help?
That's the difference.
There's the key.
And so, you know, we're going to be talking about this, unfortunately, probably for the next, certainly for the next few months until we get into the May election. And we're really going to see.
I feel like we've been talking about it for a lot longer than that. Most of my life.
But now we have an opportunity to decide for our new decision makers in the city. Right?
True.
All right, let's change the subject. But Kaiser, way to go! I'm not surprised. I was certain that you would jump on it because you don't want to be the default place that people march up to because Salem moved you out of the downtown core with your tents.
Dallas, Aurora, you guys are next.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be too welcome in some of the more rural areas. Right?
No.
And it's also more difficult.
I've seen it, though.
Mm-hmm. It's also more difficult to bring services to them if they're all spread out all over the county. So,
true.
All right. The U.S. Supreme Court. And why this is related to us here locally is because Oregon is once again special.
We're special.
We're special. And sometimes we're the only state in the union that does XYZ. And I like it, and sometimes I don't like it.
Sometimes you just go, what?
And this one, we're the only state in the union that allows people to be convicted of a crime by a jury that is not unanimous.
What?
Yeah. Don't need it. And I learned this. I didn't know this for a long time in Salem, but a number of years ago, I served on a jury. Gosh, it's probably 15 years ago. And it was a serious crime. And I was explained to that they only needed 10 votes out of 12. Did not need to be unanimous in Oregon.
Mm.
Very interesting. So Louisiana used to have a similar law, and they did away with it last year. So now Oregon stands alone. And there's a case before the Supreme Court of the United States challenging the constitutionality of non-unanimous juries. And so that is really going to affect us, folks, both in terms of getting convictions for the district attorneys who are prosecuting the crimes. That's going to be a higher hurdle, right? And some people think that's a good thing. Some people think it's not.
I'd rather have a unanimous jury.
Yeah, if I'm a defendant, I certainly would.
If I ever end up going into court with a jury, yes, I would rather have them all guilty or all innocent, preferably the latter.
So in this case, in Louisiana, it was even though now they've changed the law, it's kind of moot, but the U.S. Supreme Court is going to weigh in on it anyway. So,
well, I would hope so.
Yeah.
Because we're the only state that does it.
Then the question is, how many convictions will have to be retried, if any? Will the court decision cause a retroactive wave to everybody?
It will.
Yeah.
And you know it will.
Because you're going to have attorneys who are going to say, hey, I'll take that case.
Yeah.
That's going to be mayhem. That, you know, I don't know how many there are in Oregon.
How long has this been going on?
Well, they haven't decided yet. Oh, how long? Forever.
What?
In Oregon. Yeah.
How did they get away with that?
Because states' rights, man. States' rights.
Jeez.
They get to pick. So
I thought that was a federal thing.
Here's the thing. I mean, I can argue both sides. I could sit here for the next 10 minutes and argue both sides. Because O.J. Simpson and his attorneys, they found 12 people to say that he didn't commit those murders when everybody knows that he did. But 12 people. 12 out of 12. So how hard is it to find two stupid people? Right? We have people.
Is that harsh? You didn't want me to say anything, did you?
Well, all you can do is come right in the studio, and here's two right here. There's Dave and Brent.
Okay.
No, just kidding. But I was talking about this last week. There are people that they're choosing to believe what they want to believe. They chose to believe that Gore actually won in 2000. They choose to believe this, you know, false narrative of history, or they view the court and the proceedings, like in the OJ case, as retribution for racial injustice, and that it's payback instead of, well, he dearly did murder those people. So then you have people who no longer, actually, I know one in my professional circle who is sending out this email about, and it was a political email, right? All this commentary. And somebody pushed back and said, well, actually, those things aren't true. If you look on Snopes.com, this has been debunked. And he responded, I don't care if it's true or not, if I choose to believe it.
Wow.
How much of that do we see in our society?
All the time.
So 12 jurors, 12 out of 12.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be hard.
Yeah.
That is going to be hard.
Although in LA, you know, you got a big pool to choose from.
Yeah. So here in Oregon, folks, we're the only ones, but one, the Supreme Court might say we can no longer have that choice as a state. I don't know how you feel about that. And
I
being a state's rights person, I'm conflicted about that. And two, did you think all along they needed a unanimous jury? And
I
Oregon
did.
Should absolutely have a unanimous jury.
They should. I didn't know they didn't.
Okay. Then we'll have to see how this plays out, and also see if Oregon proactively just decides to stop doing what they're doing so they don't have any more convictions on a 10 to 2 or 11 to 1 vote.
Okay.
Otherwise, 11 to 1, I could see the argument. You got 11 to 1. One person is either not bright or not rational or prejudiced in some regard.
Right.
And then you have to retry the whole thing. Then you have to pick new jurors. Then you have to start the trial all over again. You get a hung jury, and the cost to us in our system.
Okay, now I see the point with the hung jury. That happens a lot. Like you said, 11 to 1 could happen a lot.
Yeah. And then this thing ties into the national conversation about how many people are wrongly convicted.
Yeah.
And how many people are getting overturned. And that ties into our conversation yesterday about the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I would hate, all of us would hate to see anybody put to death for a crime that they did not commit.
You see a lot of that oops in, gravestones.
Yeah.
Especially in the Wild West.
Yeah.
Visited a couple of those in Arizona.
Really?
Yeah. He said, here lies so-and-so. They thought he committed the crime, hung him, and then found out he was innocent afterwards.
Oh, I found my horse after all. He didn't steal it.
Yeah,
yeah, that's horrible. Anyway, a lot of things having to do with crime potentially changing here in 2020, and this non-unanimous jury decision is going to be fascinating. I think the Supreme Court's fascinating. What's before them, some of the cases they're looking
at. It's the actual Supreme Court. It's not the Ninth District Court, is it?
No, it's the U.S. Supreme Court.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, SCOTUS, as they call it.
Thank God.
Yeah. Maybe. No, it started out in New Orleans, right? In Louisiana.
Okay.
So it would have been the Ninth. Anyway, I think that's interesting. We're looking at a lot of changes. And in the news, again, is a judge saying, what's the deal with all these ICE, courtroom arrests, and what is the real deal? And that's part of the conversation. And just, wow, in our criminal justice system, there are a lot of balls up in the air and question marks yet to be decided definitively.
Well, if I was an ICE enforcement officer, I would be going to the courtroom as well, because that's where the illegals are facing charges for things that they normally would do in their own country.
Yeah. So I do this nerdly thing, and I listen to lectures, college level lectures, like when I'm commuting and stuff. And I'm doing one right now on the history of the Supreme Court, and one on the Bill of Rights and in our rights in America. And so this is all really interesting. I mean, 1972 case, there was a Salem man, here a local guy, Robert Apodaca.
Wow.
Apodaca. And he got convicted by a split jury. And the U.S. Supreme Court held that his constitutional right to a trial by jury was not violated by a non-unanimous verdict. I'm going to be in trouble with my enunciation today. So in other words, so if the Supreme Court goes the other way, it'll be seen as a reversal from a case that was decided by the Supreme Court in 1972. And Supreme Court is... want to do that. They rarely reverse, a precedent that's been set. So that's a big news story. That is a huge thing. All right, I want to take a quick break. We'll come back. I want to talk about I want to talk about Bill O'Reilly. And then Bill O'Reilly connected to his books, which we promoted, a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my thoughts on the discussion in America. So hold on, folks. This is Brent DeHart, and I'm here with Dave Bourne, and we'll be right back on 1430 KYKN.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thank you, Rich. Welcome back to Newsmakers.
Thank you, everyone.
Brent, we were talking about death penalty.
Uh-huh.
What else were we talking about yesterday? Homelessness.
Homelessness, of course.
And what was the third thing?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to look it up now. Go back to the podcast, which you can find at kykn.com, by the way. All the podcasts for all the Newsmakers are available.
All right. Thank you. And we will talk about Bill O'Reilly a little bit.
Okay.
He follows the show. He's back on the air. He's here locally. I kind of like Bill O'Reilly's commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if Bill O'Reilly's a great guy. I don't know if I'd want to hang out with him. I don't know if he did inappropriate things in the workplace, which cost him his job
right.
on Fox. But I do enjoy his commentary, and I'm going to compartmentalize that for a little bit. So my sister is a garage sailor. I don't know if you have any in your family like this, but I've got a sister who that's one of her hobbies. I don't know how you find that many things that you want to buy, although she is a crafter as well. So she finds things and she, inserts them into her crafting business. So
sure.
So she finds this pile of Bill O'Reilly books and she sends me a picture. I'm like, hey, do you want any of these? Well, I've given Bill O'Reilly's books as gifts. For years,
yeah.
My father-in-law.
He gave me one.
I gave you his recent book. my co-host, my brother-in-law. I've never read one.
What?
I've never read one. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I'll take them all. So okay. I ended up with four Bill O'Reilly books. And taking it easy over the last couple of holidays, I read two and a half of them. I read Killing...
Are you a speed reader?
No, I'm a very slow reader,
actually. Jeez, 2.5 books.
It's an easy read. I was surprised. It's an easy read. It's big print. If I can read it in a hurry, folks, you can read it in a hurry.
Nice.
Killing Kennedy was so interesting. And I know a thing or two about history and a thing or two about politics and this and that, but there were so many things in there I did not know.
Right? Really?
And something you might not know.
That okay.
Was Bill O'Reilly who says... at the 1 o'clock commentary.
Right.
And then I read Killing Kennedy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm reading Killing Jesus.
Wow.
Also very interesting, and I'm familiar with the story.
Yes.
Right? I've heard it recounted. I've studied the books. It's a slightly different take, you know? Anyway, really interesting things. Killing Patton was the third one. I read Killing Patton. And things that... raise a lot of questions about what happened to one of America's most esteemed and also most reviled generals.
I might have to borrow that one.
Yeah, Kelly Patton was really interesting.
I didn't know that he got killed.
So here's the thing. Well, he died from his injuries in a truck accident.
Oh.
In Germany.
Got it.
Problem is that they can't figure out where those people went who were driving the truck that bashed into his car.
Oh.
And he seemed to have died in the hospital.
Questionably.
Questionably.
Got it.
Right. Anyway, and he had a lot of enemies. He had enemies in the general population, the population of generals for the U.S. and the British, and the Russians hated him, and the Nazis hated him, and he made a lot of enemies. Because
well, yeah, he was good at his job.
It was very interesting, folks. And this is why I'm getting to how this ties into this conversation today.
Okay.
As he saw Stalin as worse than the Nazis, he openly advocated when Germany surrenders, give them back their rifles and let's go after the Soviets because Stalin is the enemy. And folks, if you don't know the history, Stalin killed more people of his own people than the Nazis killed total amount of people in World War II.
Wow.
Millions and millions and millions of people sent to Gulag, sent to Siberia, or just summarily executed of millions of people. So when people in America start talking about the opposing political party in terms of a dictatorship, in terms of fascism and things like that, they are blowing it out of some orifice. I'm telling you, they know nothing about history.
Right.
When you talk, folks, about history, and then you look at America, you've got a whole group, and this for me, it started largely with Obama, that I took Obama's message as of change is, I don't fundamentally like what America is, and I want to change America from its very foundation. I want to apologize for what it is. I want to make it better than it's ever been, and his wife as well. Never been proud of her country, and as far as, you know, she seems like a decent human being. I don't know. But I've never heard her back off that comment.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, you guys, how are you not aware of how bad things were? You know, obviously Hitler is obvious. And fewer people truly understand, though, what Lenin did, what Stalin did, what Khrushchev did, who followed Stalin, to their own people. It was unbelievable. And you can read about it in the book, if you like, but it'd give you a very good sense of history, what was really going on in World War II, and how cruel humanity can be,
mm-hmm.
how amazingly cruel, and just the voluminous amounts of loss of life. The Russian soldiers were finding women who were escaping the concentration camps, right? They survived the concentration camps in Poland. And they're trying to walk back to their own country, and the Soviet soldiers would rape, beat, and murder them.
Wow.
After they were freed from the Nazis. On their way, just savages. Now, has the U.S. military and its members either on orders or off orders doing wrong things? Yeah. Are we anything like that, people?
No.
No. So this narrative in America that I really push back against, it's why Trump's president, honestly, is that the founding fathers are bad people. They owned slaves. Or, yeah, they were white men. or they weren't woke. Well, no kidding. It was the 1700s.
Right.
Right? And you look back, people judging people from different centuries in different places on a standard of understanding in the maturation of society as we are today and looking back. That's just, it's very dangerous. It's just wrong.
That's a lack of understanding.
Yeah. So founding fathers are bad people. So therefore, the Constitution is kind of dubious because it was written for those bad people, right? The concept that everyone in America is benefiting from slavery and America would not be great if it were not for slavery, and slavery did everything and we need to pay reparations, and everyone here who is not a black person with ties back to Africa and having been imported, everybody is responsible for slavery, is part of the dangerous conversation. Again, a misunderstanding of history, because the vast majority of American immigration took place after the Civil War.
Right.
Vast majority during the Industrial Revolution. So you have incredible amounts of population who are descendants from countries that did not have slaves or had abolished slaves long before the United States did. If it's Italy or Germany or Ireland or Scandinavia, right? So this whole conversation about reparations, if I believed that people were owed reparations, I would still have to concede that there's no functional, logical way to administer it.
Right.
Who are you going to have pay?
Right.
Who are you going to do the genealogy on 350, 360 million people and see, did you have relatives here before the Civil War? And if you did they own slaves? I mean, what?
Really?
I think the argument is, I'll tell you, I think the argument is that it was the government that allowed it, right? The U.S. government. So therefore, the U.S. government must pay. And that's completely leapfrogging over the whole three-word phrase, we the people.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not the U.S. government is over there and it's something else with its own money. It's like, no. It's we the people. It's the taxpayers. So you're asking taxpayers today that had nothing to do with it to pay for something which is impossible to quantify. Impossible.
Right. Impossible.
All right. Moving on in that conversation, everyone's a racist. They search for, and we know I talked about this, about the Golden Globes and having the host there and how offensive he is and this and that. He did stand up and just go, you know, you guys don't know anything. Don't get on your soapboxes. So that was pretty amusing. But everyone is a racist. People look for it and they see malintent everywhere. Did we already talk about what happened to the 49ers coach or announcer? I'm sorry.
No.
So the 49ers, folks, and a lot of you probably saw this a few weeks ago, they were played the Baltimore Ravens, and
yes,
Lamar Jackson was the quarterback. Lamar Jackson is an African-American guy, and he was talking about how effective his play fake is. And if you're not a football fan, folks, that's when he pretends to hand it off, but then he tucks the ball and does something else with it. And he might best running quarterback in the NFL, mind you, or he can throw. And anyway, he tucks the ball as a play fake. And the announcer said, that's incredibly effective. I'm going to paraphrase. Don't write in your letters. It's incredibly effective. It's really hard to see that ball. He's got dark skin. The football's dark, and his uniform is dark. That's what he said. He got suspended.
For that?
He got suspended.
For pointing out the obvious. So
mentioning the color of his skin was brown.
Wow.
Now, folks, that's where society is. That's how good we have it, that is somehow some sort of civil violation. You compare that. I mean, you got people, celebrities likening, you know, Eddie Murphy's a Hollywood slave or Antonio Brown mentioning slavery. What almost criminal comparison that is to what slavery actually was and the hardships that people had and the cruelty and the unbelievable and the inhumanity that slavery is. And you're saying the NFL is like the white man's, the new slavery for black men. And not to mention that how many hundreds and hundreds of black people are making millions of dollars in a free enterprise in a free country.
Wow.
Where you choose your profession. Insanity in the conversation in America, folks.
Totally.
Insanity. One last thing, because I'm talking about how to connect the history that I keep getting reminded of as I'm reading Bill Riley's books to this conversation in America about they just don't understand America.
Right.
It's not like we're blemish free, but has anybody heard of Pol Pot in Cambodia? It killed anybody with an education? had children turn in their parents to have them murdered. I mean, it's just, everybody heard of the genocide that is experienced in Cambodia and in Russia and in Nazi Germany and in Uganda with Idi Amin? Oh, God. And then they hate America? Dave Bourne, they hate America. They're embarrassed by America, so they see all of us as being these racists. We're all hate-mongering racists.
Can I help them pack?
Except for AOC, of course. She's right. Not a hate-mongering racist.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. She talk about a person who doesn't have a clue. And last thing is, because it...
Yes?
I'm looking at the clock and saying, I got too much to say here. It has to do with self-hatred.
Okay.
It's in the United States. So self-loathing is the right word. If you've never seen the movie A Soldier's Story, really poignant. It's worth seeing. It's kind of a whodunit. Denzel Washington's in it, and I can't give it away, but it's a great lesson in self-loathing. And America is in this tug of war with itself, with a whole bunch of people that are trying to get elected that loathe America, like the Obamas did, but even to a greater degree, right? And part of that is a caring, a guilt complex about Native Americans, right? That always comes in the conversation. And I saw it recently in the, it was Kaepernick saying something ridiculously stupid again.
I will gladly help him back.
Land
too.
Being stolen, you know, from the Native Americans.
Jeez.
Here's the thing. You know, this is cards later is going to come. If I ever run for president, this is the bit. But it wasn't stolen, it was conquered.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can say we shouldn't have. It wasn't your land. It was a bad thing. They were mistreated. Whatever you want. But the land was conquered and it belongs to the conquerors. Now, the reason I feel comfortable saying that is because there's not a square mile anywhere on earth that is not currently populated by people who conquered that land.
True.
Right.
Yeah.
Hello, people. We're not the only ones. Look at Australia. Look at Europe. You know what we call French? I mean, France, Franc. Do you know who Francs were in history? They were Germans, people. They were Germanic tribes, and they conquered Gaul, what we Romans later called Gaul. They conquered France. It's populated. The French are the invaders, but they don't walk around with a guilt complex and a sense of self-loathing. Oh, all those natives that were here before the Germanic tribes came and conquered it in the Middle Ages.
Right.
Britain and England, they're not walking around wringing their hands about the Druids, right? And because they were conquered by the Normans and the Saxons and the Anglos and the French a couple of times and the Romans, and that's just incredible mix and so on and so forth. Every square foot of land everywhere in the earth was once populated and governed by somebody else and it's been conquered.
Mm-hmm.
So why in America do we have to persist with a forever guilt complex about it to the sense of self-loathing that America is a bad place? It's an incredible, an amazing place, the amazing experiment, the incredible experiment that a lot of people in the world who are paying attention, who are erudite and studiers of governments and history.
They all want to come here.
They didn't know. Oh, well, back in the 1700s, this was an experiment. There had never been a country that started their country from scratch with a constitution with this many freedoms.
Right.
And they waited and waited to see when it was going to fall apart. And a lot of people thought that the country then was going to fall apart at the Civil War, that the great experiment lasted 60 years, 70 years. But it would eventually just fall apart because you cannot govern your own. You cannot be we the people. And I think 200 and, boy, we're really pushing
30?
Almost 50.
Really?
Yeah, 200? 45. It was 1976 was a bicentennial. So years later, I think they're proving wrong, that we the people are still strong. We still ruled by the Constitution. And America, stop talking about dictators.
Yeah, right.
Dictators and monarchs.
You know what we need? We need to get a rid of the snowflake mentality. That's where some of this is coming from.
Yeah, and I want to take somebody like AOC. Actually, I don't think she has the intellectual capacity, but put her in a history class for a few weeks.
Yeah, she skipped that.
Give her a sense of what America really is. You know, like she said recently about Americans living today have no idea of a prosperous America. Would you please take economic history of the United States? My father lived in an era where there was outdoor plumbing. Right. My father, right? Just makes your head explode. We've never been so prosperous.
Right.
But she thinks that America is not prosperous. The people now, the poor people right now, don't know what prosperity is.
And how rich is she?
Well, she'll tell you she's the poorest member of Congress or yeah. something. All right, we got to take a break. We're way long, but we'll come right back and finish up the story here on Tuesday on Newsmakers. My name is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne, and you're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks. Talking a lot about a national conversation and a little bit of history here today. I usually do local topics. Don't want to miss out on those. I'm going to finish up, though, since I don't usually talk about it. In your conversations with people that disagree with you, there's certain things you want to keep in mind. Sorry I didn't give you this advice before the holidays and, you know, the relatives of various different political parties were over. But it's good advice nonetheless. Listen for the distinction between what's human rights, what are civil rights, and what are citizen rights.
Okay.
Okay? And I think in America, a lot of these arguments are taking place across the aisle where the people on the left are trying to assign citizen rights to people who deserve human rights. So somebody comes who is seeking asylum, seeking a better life, and they're coming to the border illegally. You should be treated with human rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't shoot them like the Soviets would have done, right, in World War II.
Or Iran.
Do they have civil rights as non-citizens? Do they have rights that are reserved to citizens? And there's the disconnect, and it doesn't make the person who said, well, wait a minute, there's certain rights of citizenship that cannot be assigned to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That person, and the left would have that everybody believe that that person is a hater and a xenophobe and so forth.
Right.
So it's a good distinction when you're having your political discussions. Hey, is this a citizen? This is a civil right? Is this a human right? One of the things we were talking about, well, let's hit up this news because it's political news. So there was an appointment. State Representative Lynn Findley was chosen by the county commissioners to fill and succeed Cliff Benz. So Cliff Benz, B-E-N-T-Z, he resigned his post in the Senate, in the Oregon Senate. He resigned his post to run for the Greg Wyden's seat.
Okay.
So he's going to go into campaign modes, and it created a vacancy. So congratulations to State Representative Lynn Findley being appointed by the county commissioners to now become a senator.
Nice.
So maybe we'll talk about that, and maybe we get him on the air. But thanks for joining us, everyone, and listening to our rants today and our topics.
Brent's rant.
We'll do it again on Thursday, and tomorrow it's Wednesdays with Denise.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.